I've never been a boat guy. I'm not a canoe guy. I've dunked my wife so many times in canoes, you know, that when we first got married, it must have been a wide bottom we had. I don't know. But I get in a canoe now, and I'm in, you know, something about this part up here just does not want, I wobble. I mean, I'm bad. And we've gone over more. In fact, the last time we went canoeing together, she ended up walking about the last half mile to a mile down the riverbed because I dunked her so many times. I was telling Pastor today that in that canoe, I learned a lesson. We pulled up by the shore to get some lunch with a bunch of teenagers at the camp where I was preaching that week. And so we were getting out of the canoe. She gets out of the canoe on the bank side, you know, and then it started to swing a little bit. So I thought, well, I'll just get out of the other side. I learned a lesson that, you know, that adage where it says, don't get out of the other side of the boat, you know. Because when I got out, my foot got hung up and there was no land under my left leg. And that canoe started tipping. She sang it out. She thought I was messing around. Going like, and I'm half drowning, you know. And I finally get my head up and says, let go! Amen. So we let go so I could make it up. And I tell you what, me and boats have never really gotten along very well at all. Well, here in the book of Romans tonight, chapter 1 and verse 8 again, let me remind you, verse 9, right? Let me remind you of the term or the thought of characteristic again, being a feature that helps distinguish a person or being distinctive. A feature that helps to identify, amen, or to tell apart. Oh, by the way, people ought to tell us apart from the world, amen. They ought to know that there's something different about us other than what the world has to offer, or describe recognizably or a distinguishing mark or a trait. We were up at the Sioux Locks one time up in the upper part of Michigan, way up in the UP, right before you get into Canada, and I was walking. Kale, our daughters were with us, and Kale was beside me, and he was just a little tight then, you know, and I had him by the hand. Now he's bigger than me, amen, and I had him by the hand. I'm walking there along, and my wife and the two girls behind us walking are laughing, and I said, what's so funny? He said, Dad, he walks just like you. That's a distinguishing mark, amen. Now, I don't know what that meant, that he walks just like me, if that's a good thing or a bad thing, but it's identifiable, you know. And sometimes you run into somebody or meet somebody and you say, man, I knew your dad. You look just like your dad. Or I knew your mom. You look just like your mom. A girl usually don't want to hear, you look just like your dad, amen, especially when they're ugly and old. But, you know, it's a distinguishing mark or a trait. Well, we're born again believers saved by the very grace of God. There ought to be some distinguishing traits in the born again believer's life that will identify him with what Jesus Christ has done in his life, that will identify him with God the Father, that will identify him with the things of heaven, that will identify him with other born again believers saved by the grace of God that have gone on before us that are serving the Lord. Amen. There ought to be something different about you and me. Now, the Bible does say in Luke chapter 16, and many of you know this text very well because you've read it, no doubt, many, many times, but he said, no servant can serve two masters. You can't serve, no servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Of course, that term mammon is really, dig it right down deep, it's dealing with money, amen, but worldly things, you know, I think is how I would apply it. Worldly things. You can't love both. You're going to have to hold to the one and despise the other, or love the one and hate the other. So, do you love God or mammon? You know, I just think it comes right down to that for you and I as believers in Jesus Christ. You're a servant of the King. You're a servant of Jesus Christ. You're a servant of the Lord. Listen, I was a slave to sin. Now I'm a servant of the Savior. Amen? You were a slave to sin. Now you ought to be a servant of the Savior. And that doesn't mean that we're perfect. Amen? You're not perfect. I'm not perfect. And I realize that, but there's some things in being a servant of the Lord that ought to apply to our lives. Look with me, if you will, as we begin this evening here. Number one, if you're taking notes, write this down. We ought to be acceptable for service. We ought to be acceptable for service. He says in Romans chapter 12 and verse 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the what? The mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto the Lord, which is your what? Reasonable service. Amen. Otherwise, can I be honest with you, it's reasonable to serve God. But we ought to be prepared to serve. I beseech you, brethren, by the mercy of God, you present your bodies a living sacrifice. There's a lot of people who are serving the Lord, but they don't have much sacrifice in their life, brother, to serve God. And their life is not lined up with the things of the Bible many times. But yet they're out doing a work. They're out maybe preaching. They're out maybe in music. They're out maybe pastoring churches. Maybe they're out handing out tracts, pastor. And just because we do those things does not mean that our heart's where it ought to be with the Lord. And I tell you what, my friend, we ought to be servants of Jesus Christ, the King. He said, we ought to be prepared to serve the Lord Jesus Christ as our King. I like that again where he says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God. A living sacrifice, which is your reasonable service. You know, over in the book of Exodus, not chapter 20, amen, but Exodus is probably more towards the beginning of Exodus, when they're getting, after they get in, well, they're getting instruction, and part of Exodus, I think it's after, anyway, and then in Numbers, and it says this, that they were to make clothing for the service, amen, for the service of the tabernacle, and clothing for the servants in the tabernacle. And so, clothing for the service, and then clothing for the servants. There was something that was said about a servant of God that made him look apart different than the world. Now, I'm not talking about dress, amen. I'm not talking about getting in a pulpit pastor and having a tie or not a tie. You know, I'm a tie man, and I hate ties. I hate suit coats. I wear one every time I get into the pulpit. I don't know if I've ever stepped into a pulpit without one. It will come off because I'm getting warm, amen. You know, I remember back in Faith Baptist in Muskegon, Michigan, Pastor Beach said, our arses in our church, when they take up the offering, unless it's a hot day, they had to wear a suit coat and a tie and dress slacks. Our ushers had to dress, amen. And our Sunday school teachers had to be dressed for the service in the house of God. Now, listen, I'm not saying that if you don't, that you're wrong. Amen. I'm just saying that there's a decorum where we ought to be different than the world and something different about us. And I'm not saying you have to wear a tie in the pulpit, you know. I was in one camp one time, they said you have to take your tie off and get in the pulpit, because if you don't, we're going to bring a pair of scissors up there, we're going to cut off right there. So I wore an old tie and then I took it off before I preached, amen. Just in case it got to me before I took it off. You know, I remember being, you know, man, it's so hot when you preach sometimes in our church in Michigan before we got air conditioning. Praise the Lord, we got air in there now. And, you know, and we used to have about 10 fans lined up around the wall blowing into the congregation. And you'd be up on that platform that's about 3.5 feet off the floor up there. And, man, that air from that congregation, you don't realize how hot your bodies are when somebody's standing up here, even 9 inches off the ground. It's a lot hotter here than just sitting out there, amen. And but you know, praise the Lord that we still need to be, regardless of the temperature, regardless of the day, we need to be acceptable for the service of the King, because we are His children. Psalm chapter 19 with me. Look at the book of Psalms, and the 19th Psalm have a number of different verses to look up tonight. Now, I didn't share that with you to shame you. Understand me. Please understand it. I'm just saying that there's something different about you and me, and it goes far beyond what we wear, pastor. It goes far beyond goes far beyond how long my hair might be. And I got long hair, amen. It goes far beyond the shoes I wear. It goes far beyond that. I ought to be prepared in my heart for the service of the King, and there's got to be something different about me and something different about you that people ought to recognize, amen. So he says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, again, that you present your bodies living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And in Psalm chapter 19, down to verse 14, he says this, let the words of my mouth and my meditation of my heart be acceptable acceptable in thy sight, not just what we look like sometimes, maybe, but he said, the meditation of my heart and the words of my mouth might be acceptable in thy sight. Oh Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Have you ever said something and then after you said it, you thought, I shouldn't have said that? Anybody there beside me? Amen. You know what happened there is you realize the Holy Spirit told you that the words of your mouth were just not acceptable before the Lord. Amen. And that ought to make us really, at that moment, really ought to want to make us confess to God. And we really ought to immediately, when that happens, we ought to immediately, maybe not by closing our eyes, Pastor, or maybe not by uttering out words loud, but immediately, at least in our mind and our heart, Lord, please forgive me. And if we're saying it to somebody else, maybe we need to say, Lord, forgive me. Would you please forgive me? Amen. And be different. I think it was Bill Rice, John Rice's brother, the one who had Bill Rice Ranch, Bill Rice Sr., the first, you know. And Bill Rice the first, used to travel around the country in revival meetings and conferences all over the place. And so he was in an area one time, and he had to go into the local hardware store. He said, this is what, how many of you remember this? Some of you remember this. You don't see it much today. But remember, you walk in the hardware store and there's a little bell, or a store, and there'd be a little bell hanging up there, a little grocery store or something, and they're back in the country, and you'd open the door up and it'd go ding, 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 you know, and a little bell would ding. Well, he said, I walked in. He said, I'm walking in. He said, the screen door's closed. He said, and I get by the screen door and I hear some guys in there. He said, I hear some language coming out of their mouths. And when they heard that bell dingle a little bit, they said, they made this statement. They said, shh, 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 shh. Fellas, let's stop because there might be a lady coming into our presence. You know. And he said, I walked around the corner and he said, I had my suit on, I had a tie on, and I had a white shirt on. He said, I walked around the corner and he said, you don't have a lady in your presence, but you have a gentleman in your presence. Amen. And, you know, maybe, I don't know, the world has a different picture, Pastor, of preachers today. The world has a different picture today of born-again believers. You know, today, it used to be at work, you go to work. I remember I was working one time, and every time I go into this one room at work and have lunch, because we didn't have a lunch room, we just ate wherever we were at our machines, you know. And so I go into the area where they inspected all the machinery, all the parts, you know, and I sit down there, and I sat down with a guy, and I said, as I'm sitting in there, he starts filthy language, and I said, nah, it's enough for me, and I got up and I walked out, you know. And a couple of days later, he come over and he sat down beside me and talked just as nice, never said one word. And I thought, well, I guess just me leaving and saying, I'm just enough for me. You know, that was a rebuke enough where he just, after that, I never had to worry about him cussing around me anymore. Amen? And but today, if you do that, or you make, what's the matter with you? You stinking, you know, blankety blank. I mean, and they just, the people don't like you. Can I tell you that? The world don't, what I mean by that, the world don't like you. And it's getting worse and worse. And by the way, some Christians are just as bad as the world when it comes to that. Amen? Some Christians are just as bad. Look at Ephesians chapter 5 with me, if you will. Ephesians chapter 5. He makes this statement over in the book of Ephesians. Let me get myself over there. Ephesians chapter 5. He makes this statement down in, let's see. Let's go to verse 8 where he makes this statement. He says this. He said, for ye were, and watch what he says. He said, for ye were sometimes darkness. He's talking to believers. This church in Ephesus was a Gentile church. It was not a church of Jewish people. This was Gentiles that got saved by the grace of God. And he looks at these Gentiles. He said, listen. He said, for ye were sometimes darkness. Now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. That's their service, walking as children of light, a service to the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ Himself, for the fruit of the Spirit is all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. That lifestyle, that godly lifestyle, is acceptable unto the Lord. Amen. And we ought to desire that. You ought to desire that. I ought to desire that. I ought to desire that, and you ought to desire that. We ought to desire that every second of every day, every hour, all year long. Amen. That should be a desire that we have in our heart to be what we are doing, improving what is acceptable in the Lord. He said, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Don't sit down and do the things that the world is doing just to get along with somebody. Reprove. No, that's not right. I'm not going to do it. Amen. And when you start that way, you start to get condemned sometimes. You know, my wife and I have never made a big deal any place we've ever been. We never let our kids go trick-or-treat. We were mean parents. So we just never got involved in Halloween, you know, because of what it represents. So we just never did it. But we never condemned somebody else who did. But I had a pastor tell me when he said, we're going to do this and I said, well, I said, that'll be fine, but if you decide to do that, my wife and I will not be here that evening with our kids. And I was a youth leader at the church, you know. And he said, oh, you're one of them. And my thought was, well, yeah, you're not. I mean, and now, listen, I never said anything to him about that. I mean, I never condemned him after that passage, and I won't do it. Never mentioned his name to anybody. I'm just simply saying that when you take a right stand, you believe it's right. Even Christians sometimes. And maybe you let your children do that. Listen, it don't bother me one bit. Amen. That's not what I'm preaching. I'm just simply saying sometimes we say things or do things, if we're not careful, that do not give the right picture to the world. Amen. And the world does not like you. They have nothing to do with you. Look with me, if you will, over 1 Peter. The book of 1 Peter, right there past Hebrews and James and 1 Peter in chapter 2. And he makes a statement in 1 Peter chapter 2 down to verse 5. He says, ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. I'm glad he didn't say literal sacrifice. It's spiritual sacrifices. Amen. And there's going to be things in your life as a believer in Christ that you're going to sacrifice sometimes as a child of God. By the way, sacrificing to God doesn't cost you anything. Amen. It really doesn't. Because God will take care of all your needs and meet your needs and help you and lead you and guide you all the way. But these folks here, they believe that they were, in the scriptures here, they were, by what we read, acceptable. Paul wants to be acceptable. Peter wants to be acceptable for the service of the king. And so we need to be acceptable for service. Then number two, in being acceptable for service, sometimes we enjoy the praise of man. So I wrote down abstaining or abstain from the praise of man. That doesn't mean if somebody comes up and says, that was a good sermon, or that was a good song, or, you know, I say praise the Lord, it was all God, not me, amen. I couldn't preach my way out of a paper bag. I'm just telling you, it's all the Lord, nothing to do with me at all. And if it had to do with me, I'd be laying on the ground up here and dead, amen. I don't want it to be anything of me. Abstaining from man's presence. Why? He says in Ephesians chapter 6 verse 7, with goodwill, listen, with goodwill doing services to the Lord and not to men. Amen? Your pastor doesn't pastor this church just to please you. He pastors the church here to please God. Amen?
Amen.
And then that ought to help you to want to do the same thing. He serves the Lord here, amen, to be acceptable in the sight of God, to serve God, to help you, that you might do the same thing as a believer in Jesus Christ. Your pastor will wear me out if I let him. We'd be down on the street corner. I remember a few years back, Pastor, he sort of slowed up on me a little bit. But one year, there was like 3 days in a row. 2 days we were in Geneva. And one day then we were down in the Glen, you know. And I'm thinking, this guy, if he's like this all week long, I mean, it's going to kill me. Amen. I'm a fat guy, you know, in a hot day. And I couldn't even do it this year. I'm in such a bad shape, you know, with my knee and my back and everything. I had a hard time down there. I had to borrow his walking stick, you know, off him today. He had that big walking stick, and he got this little dinky skinny thing. I said, can I borrow your one you got in the trunk? He said, so he gave me the big one. He got a little bitty ski. He said, you use this? He said, it'll put a hole right through your hand, amen. If I fell, it probably would. That thing was so skinny. I don't know how that held you up, brother. You make that for one of your grandkids, and you stole it from him or what? I'm just wondering, amen. And one thing was, it was not a good stick, I don't think, to walk with. He said, with goodwill is doing services to the Lord and not to men. That's how you can keep on going, because you're not doing it for men. You're not doing it for the praise of men. You're not doing it for somebody to come up to you and say, good job, amen. You're not doing it. You know, I've seen in churches where people have got mad because the pastor didn't recognize the fact that they swept the floor in the church. People got mad because the pastor didn't recognize the fact that they took an old toilet from their house, and when the toilet in the church was broken, they put a new one in their house and brought the old one to the church. The pastor didn't recognize that and thank them for doing that from the pulpit. You know, people get mad. You know, why don't you buy the new toilet for the church and keep the old one in your house, amen? I'm just saying here, just saying, you know. Use the old one for a planter in your yard, you know. Put some flowers in it or something, you know. And, you know, I'm saying that we've got this thing all wrong. So we think that because we do something, Pastor, that that you ought to jump up and come up here in the middle of my sermon and say, good job, Brother Mike, keep it up. Well, I'm trying, Pastor. I mean, that's what we think. That's what our mind says. That's what our flesh says, amen. That's all flesh. It has nothing to do with God. It has nothing to do with serving the King. And when we want somebody just to come up and pat us on the back, every time we do something, well, praise the Lord that you mowed the lawn out here today. Or praise the Lord that you swept the sidewalk off. Praise the Lord. I mean, if you did it for that reason, my friend, you're doing it for the wrong reason. Amen. You do it unto the Lord, because why? He is the God of God. So look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10 with me. 1 Corinthians with me, please. And over 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. We read this down in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And I'm just going to look at one verse down to, we might look at a couple, but look down at verse 30. So, for if I by grace be partaker, why am I evil spoken of for that for which I give thanks? Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do it all to the glory of God. Give none offense neither to the Jews nor to the Gentiles nor to the church of God, even as I please all men in all things, not seeking mine own profit, but the profit of many, that he might be saved. What's he saying? I'm doing it all for the Lord. I'm not doing it for any other reason but for God. Doing it for the Lord. I tell you, if anybody was a servant of God, it would be Paul, amen. And I look at all, I look at James, and I look at Peter, and you know, you look at the Luke and Matthew and Mark and John. You look at these guys and see what they wrote in the scriptures, and you recognize the fact that they were all true servants of the Lord, amen. Go back in the Old Testament, look at Jeremiah, and look at Isaiah, you know, look at Hosea, and look at Hezekiah, Pastor, amen, and Brother Dave, you know, look at, you mean, you know, I'm just kidding you, amen. You look back in the Old Testament, and you look at Elijah, Pastor talking about Elijah and Elisha, servants of God. Servants of God. And no matter what they went through in their life, their whole point of their life, even Jonah, who I think sometimes we give a hard time to because he gave himself a hard time, amen. But even Jonah, all did it for the service of the King. And I think Jonah was expecting more out of it than what took place to start with, amen. God straightened him out real quick, didn't he, amen. But even Jonah, and Job, look at Job, a servant of God, that loved God, that followed God, that obeyed God. Look at Noah, look at Moses, look at Joshua, amen. Look at Aaron. Look at her. When her, I preached on that text one time. You haven't seen Ben Hur, amen. No, her and Aaron when he stood on the mountaintop with on the hill or the mountain with Moses and they were doing battle and every time Moses would hold the rod up, the Israel would do good in the battle, and then his arms would get heavy, he let the rod down, and they would start to fail, and then he put his arms back up, and her gets on one side of him, and Aaron on the other, and he put a big rock underneath him. And they get him to sit down, and then they hold his arms up. Amen. Servants of God. Servants of God. I don't see where it was all done that Moses gave them a great reward. It doesn't say that Moses patted them on the back and said, thank you for your help. Amen. Now, I imagine he probably did say thank you. I don't know. I'm just saying it doesn't say that. I'm just simply saying they weren't doing it. They weren't doing it for any other reason than to serve God, to follow God, to obey God. Look at Colossians chapter 3 with me. Colossians chapter 3. Over in the book of Colossians in chapter 3 down to verse 17, he makes this statement. Chapter 3, verse 17. For Whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, watch, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Whatever we do, we ought to thank God for it. Whatever we do, it's not to man, it's to God. Amen. And because it's to God and for God, then we ought to thank Him for what He's doing in our lives and do it all for Him, all for the glory of God. We don't need the glory. You don't need the glory. I don't need the glory. I've been in some meetings, pastor, over the years. I get a lot of camp meetings, and I don't preach at all the camp meetings I go to, and I don't want to. In fact, I usually tell them when I get there, I got a couple good friends that run camp meetings. I get there, and they usually preach me every year, but I tell them, listen, you don't have to preach me. I know who's coming here. You know, I know who's going to be here this week. You don't have to preach me, but I'm coming to be fed, amen. And I might preach once, one up in Michigan. I preached three times this year in the mornings. I had three morning sessions, and I enjoy preaching. But pastor, I didn't go to preach. I went to be fed, amen. And that's what I want, the feeding of God in my life and in my heart. So he says here again in Colossians 3:17, he said, listen, and whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. I mean, who am I doing it for? Am I doing it for you? No. I'm doing it for the Lord, amen. You go out soul winning for yourself, pastor? No. You go out soul winning for the church? No. You go out soul winning for the Lord. Amen. That's what the whole purpose of being a born-again believer is. In 1 Peter 4:11, he says, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. I don't see anything in that text that says if any man minister at all, that he does it for himself. He does it to bring his own glory. Does it to bring glory to someone else in the congregation? Absolutely not. He said, let him do it as the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. And then he says, what? Amen. That means it is so. Let it be so. And look with me, if you will, now the next thought I want to look at for a few moments with you. You're going to find over in the book of Revelation in chapter 2. Not only as believers in Christ should we be acceptable with service, and that we should maybe abstain from man's praise during service, but then as we come to this thought in Revelation in chapter 2, I wrote down in my notes that we need to be active in service. Active in service. Otherwise, you ought to look to see where you can serve God where you can serve God in your community, in your church, with your neighbors, at work, with your friends. You ought to look where you can serve God. You ought to look at every opportunity where you can serve God as a believer in Jesus Christ. Amen. We ought to. We really should. Revelation chapter 2, verse 9 says this: the Lord says, saying to the church of Thyatira, he makes this statement to them, I know thy works and charity and service. He says, I know thy service. I know what you do. And faith and thy patience and thy works and the... You notice he mentioned works two times. But the second time he says, and thy works and the last to be more than the first. One commentator wrote this on that thought, the last to be more than the first. He says, the last one to be more than the first. He says, they not only retained what they had received at first, but grew in grace and in the knowledge and the love of Jesus Christ. This is a rare thing in most Christian churches today, he says. He said, they generally lose the power of religion and rest in the forms of worship. They rest in their worship, but that's all they do. They don't do anything else. So he said their service is lacking today in many areas, and it requires a powerful revival. He said a powerful revival to bring them to such a state that their last works shall be more than their first works, that their last works will be greater than in the beginning. I had this thought along with that. This is a weird thing also in Christianity. Many Christians today do the same. They lose their power and they rest in their worship. Amen. They're resting in coming to church and singing praises, and that's all they do. And we ought to serve the King. We ought to come with a servant's heart to when I get to the house of God, what can I do to help? Amen. What can I do to help? Well, you might not be able to do what some others can do. And it might get to the point where you can't do much at all. You know what you can do? Maybe come a little early and pray. Amen. Come a little early and pray. You might notice a big difference. Amen. Amen. I'm telling you, my friend. Our pastor, I love my pastor to death. I really do. And he tried to get a pre-service prayer time going for quite a while. We do now. We have it in his office right before we go out to preach, like most people do usually, you know. But he tried to get guys to come together 20 minutes early, you know, just to go into the side room and pray with him for the services. And we couldn't get anybody but one or two guys, and then they fell off, you know, to come into the room with him and pray before the services. Back in the side, boy, I think that's sad, amen. If the pastor would ask you, can you come 10 minutes early and pray with me? Amen. I'm just saying that we're missing something today. We're missing. You say, well, I can't. Brother Mike, you don't understand. Now, I got a dear friend, and I'll tell you this. I don't pray out loud. I said, okay, just come. You know what? Then come and enjoy the others praying. Be there in presence. Be there in support. Amen? That's all it ought to be. It really ought to be that way. We're missing something today. In Job chapter 17, verse 9, he says, the righteous also shall hold on his way, and he that hath clean hands shall be stronger and stronger. Stronger, and that's the last being greater than the first. Amen. Stronger and stronger. He's not getting weaker as a believer. He's getting stronger as a believer. And then he says in Psalm, look at Psalm chapter 92 with me in your Bible. Let's just go to the book of Psalms in chapter 92. Psalms 92, and look down with me if you would at the verse. Let's go to verse 12. He says, "The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like the cedar in Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age." They haven't stopped. They're still bringing forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing. Someone's fit that picture, but that's not the kind of fat he's talking about. Amen. They shall be fat and flourishing. He's talking about that they will be blessed by God, and they will flourish in their Christian testimony and flourish in their Christian life, flourish in their witness for the Lord. Well, I don't know about you, but I think that's about like where I would like to be. Amen. He said in verse 15, to show that the Lord is upright. Boy, to show that, listen, when you get older in age, your life ought to show that the Lord is upright. He's upright. He is my rock.
Amen.
People ought to recognize me talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. That you're on the solid rock, amen. And like the song says, and we shall not be moved. I hate that song, but there is no unrighteousness in him. He said, why? Because he's God. So because he's God, the end of my life ought to praise him more than the beginning of my life. I ought to be growing stronger and stronger in the things of God. In Proverbs chapter 4, verse 18, he says, but the path of the just, Proverbs 4, 18, but the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. When's that perfect day going to be? Well, when Jesus Christ comes back, amen. What a perfect day, Pastor, that will be. I don't think that's what he's talking about in that text, amen. But I'd like to apply it that way for a few moments. But he said, it shall shine more and more. Your life ought to be shining out Jesus Christ more and more every day that you live. And then he says in 2 Peter chapter 3 and down to verse 18, and we'll finish up with this thought this evening. Brother Overton's not here tonight, so I'm getting done a little bit earlier, Pastor, just saying. But growing grace. If I'm growing in grace, guess what? then my light will be shining more and more. If I'm growing in grace, then I'll be stronger and stronger. If I'm growing in grace, my latter works will be greater than my beginning works. Why? Because I'm growing in the Lord. So there's things today that I believe, Pastor, that I didn't believe when I first got saved. Amen? Why? Because of being in His Word, because of being in the house of God, because of learning the truth of the very Word of God. I'll never forget the first time that Pastor Don Bennett in New Lyme, Ohio, where we were attending church, asked me to preach on I'm thinking it was a New Year's Eve service. He asked Fred Fowler, and he asked Dennis Patterson, and he asked Mike Patterson, my brother's Dennis, to preach. We all three grew up, my brother and I grew up together, of course, you know, but Fred grew up with us, and he's passed around Washington State now. But Fred, I'll never forget, John 14:6, Jesus said unto him, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And I believe Fred had the way, and my brother had the truth, and I had the life. Amen. In the end of that thing, and I'll never forget. He said, "You guys have 10 minutes apiece." And the first time I stood in the pulpit and preached, but the first time like that anyway with other guys. And I remember Fred Fowler took his 10 minutes. He'd been preaching for a long time, you know. My brother took about 7 or 8, and I took about 4. Amen. And I was done. Trust me, it's not going to happen this week. I do more than 4 minutes now, amen. That is zero of that on the average. But grow in grace, he says. And in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to Him be glory both now and what? Forever. Amen?
Amen.
We ought to glorify God more and more every day.
Amen.
And we ought to grow in His grace more and more every day as the children of God. How's your service between you and the Lord? You know, that ought to be a characteristic in your life. That when you get out of your car at church, when you run into someone else who knows Christ, encourage them. You get out of the car at church, first thing I do is see what you can do to help. Amen. I believe that with all my heart. My wife will tell you when I get in my home church, Pastor, a lot of times I'll come. I was down in Orlando with Steve Baker. It's not Steve Baker, Steve Ware, Dr. Steve Ware. And I'm coming across the property going up to the, you got a big facility down there, runs a Christian school, about 300 students, you know. And I'm going across, and there's a piece of paper, and we're walking. And I go down to pick it up, and he says, don't touch that. I said, okay, Pastor, what's up? He says, that's for my Christian school students to do. They have to clean the property. I said, you don't touch that. So, okay, I don't. So I was walking with him here this last year, and I noticed he'd been over and picked something up and said, is that for your Christian school? I'm the pastor. I can do what I want. Amen. He's one of my best friends. Amen. I'm just simply saying, what are you doing for the service of the King? And probably, can I be honest, probably this church right here has more dedicated, 100% full-blown, gone-out-for-God servants of Jesus Christ in any church that we get in. I'm serious with you. Pastor, that's what I see when I come here, amen. Everybody's willing to do something. So don't take this as a rebuke. If you need it as a rebuke, take it, amen. But take it as a challenge not to stop, but to grow more and more by the grace of God continually, and be stronger and stronger in the end than you were in the beginning, and grow in grace, and let that light grow more and more in your life as a believer in Jesus Christ, amen. Doing for God what He would have you to do. Let's have our heads bowed and our eyes closed, and let me start off this thought. You cannot be a servant of the King. You cannot be a servant of Jesus Christ if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You have to know Him as your personal Savior. Have you ever trusted Him as your personal Savior? If you were walking out this door tonight, and I'm not going to do this to you, trust me, I will not do this, but if you were walking out, and if I asked you this question on the way out, if I said this to you, do you know for sure if you died that you go to heaven? And if I asked you to tell me yes or no, what would your answer be to me? What would your answer be? Could you indefinitely say, yes, I know for sure that if I die, I'm going to heaven? Can you say that? If you can't say that, my friend, you need to know. You need to know for sure. You need to know by the grace of God that you can have eternal life. Is there anybody in here this evening? Maybe you just slip up your hand and say, Mike, I'm not sure about that. Could you just pray for me? I'm not going to embarrass you. But would you just slip your hand and say, would you just pray for me? My prayer can't save you. My prayer won't save you. But I would count it a great privilege just to pray for you that you would listen to the Holy Spirit of God. Is there anybody right now, you slip your hand up and say to me, I'm just not sure of my eternal destiny, my eternal life. Just not sure I'm saved. Anybody like that tonight at all? And I will pray for you. Just slip your hand right up. Anybody at all? I don't see any hands. Second question is this. Brother Mike, would you just pray for me tonight? Because, you know, I do serve God, and I want to serve Him more and more. I want my latter end to be greater than the beginning end. Would you just pray for me tonight? How about right now? Just slip your hands up. God bless you. Praise the Lord. Amen. You can put them down. God bless you. Praise the Lord. Anybody else tonight as I go to the Lord in prayer? Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed, eyes closed for a few moments, please. Stand to our feet, heads bowed, eyes closed. If you're able to, if you can't stand up, you just remain seated, please. We don't want anybody to stand and go through any type of serious pain. You don't need that. Let's pray. Father, thank you, Father, for your wonderful grace and your mercy. Thank you for this night, Lord. Thank you for this congregation, Father. Lord, you make it so easy for me to preach here in this pulpit. I thank you for that, God. That's not always the case. You always make it easy for me to preach, but sometimes it just seems like it's going to a brick wall, Lord. I thank you tonight again that I feel your Spirit working in the midst of your children. And I pray, Father, thank you for what you've done in my own life and our lives, Father, in the life of this church and the life of these folks. And God, I pray that these who raise their hand tonight, help them, dear Lord, please, that they settle something. Maybe just pouring their heart out to you and asking you to give them more and more and more strength, Father, that they will flourish in the end of their life for the glory of your Son, Jesus Christ, and to bring glory to you in heaven. Thank you, Father, for the power of your Holy Spirit working in our hearts. In Jesus' precious name, heads bowed, eyes closed, we pray in His name. Now, if the Lord spoke to your heart, why don't you slip out right now and you come to the altar? Come on, you just come. Come on. Come on, you come. The Lord spoke to your heart. You said, I didn't raise my hand, but the Lord spoke to your heart. You slip out and you come. Let God do in your heart what He wants to do. You come. You come. And if you can't kneel down, you can sit down on the front pew. You can sit down in the front chair. Amen. Feel free to sit down. If you can't get, step out. Just feel free to come.
Christians praying 283. Have you any room for Jesus, He who bore your load of sin? As He knocks and asks admission, sinner, will you let Him in?